సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచార నేను విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యం.
జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవ భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. సో విల్ ట్రై టు క్విక్లీ రీక్యాప్ వాట్ వీ హావ్ సీన్ టిల్ నౌ. Instructions of Swayambhuva Manu to Dhruva Maharaj, and then we have few more verses to cover, we'll cover it. So Swayambhuva Manu started by telling, "My dear Dhruva Maharaj, this excessive anger unto the innocent Yakshas is the path of ignorance. This act is not befitting our dynasty and it is condemned by the virtuous. For the fault of just one yaksha, you have killed so many of them. This is not the path followed by the devotees. Rishikesha anuvartinam pumsam." He says, "Such an act is impelled by bodily consciousness." Thinking in terms of my brother, like that. "Actually, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, you had already achieved the abode of Vaikuntha. And the great devotees recognize your stature as a very respectable devotee. And also they try to follow your saintly conduct. Therefore this act doesn't befit you." Then he says, "You can please the Lord only if you show the qualities of tolerance towards seniors, compassion towards inferiors, a friendly attitude towards equals, and if you take others' happiness and distress to be your own. And what happens when the Lord is pleased? One becomes free from the gunas, one becomes free from the subtle body, and one achieves the abode of the Supreme Lord." So, like that he mentioned from the Vaishnava viewpoint, why it is important to stop fighting, because that would eventually please the Supreme Lord. So then he starts by discussing about the, by speaking about the nature of things. First he said, "My dear Dhruva Maharaj, creation, maintenance and destruction of the bodies of the jivas happens only due to the maya potency of the Lord. Therefore, the yakshas are not the cause of Uttama's death." And then the next verse he said, "But maya is not the ultimate cause, but it is Krishna who is the indirect cause, being the controller of maya and this material world." And how does the Lord carry out creation, maintenance and destruction? Through the agency of Kala Shakti, Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. But one may ask, but then why then does the Lord create, maintain and destroy? For what purpose? It is, no one can understand the actions of the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the proof of his independent nature? Next verse he says, "In the form of time, even though he is without, he himself is without destruction, but he destroys everyone including Yamaraj. And through the agency of other people, he creates also. So that way, he is independent to engage everyone. But one should not think that the Lord is unjust and whimsical to kill some people, cause some people to die, to let some people live long lives and so on. One should not think that he is unjust and whimsical, for the Lord has no enemy or no friend, and in the form of death he is equal to all." Then one may ask, if he is equal to all, then why do some people suffer and some people enjoy? That is because of their own karma. The Lord as a judge awards them equally according to their karma. Thus some people have long healthy lives and others don't. But then one may ask, Okay, so if karma is the cause, is that the only cause? Yes, no. Some people say karma is the cause. The Charvaks, they say Swabhava is the cause. The Vyavaharikas, they say that time is the cause. The astrologers say that planets are the cause. And other philosophers say that the cause is lust. But then which one of them is right? Which is the cause? None of them are right, because all these are only the immediate causes. They are not the ultimate cause. The root cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And because of lack of spiritual intelligence, these lower philosophers cannot understand the root cause, which is the Supreme Lord. In fact, He is the cause of all these Shaktis, like Kala, Karma, Swabhava. All these Shaktis, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. He is the Shaktiman, possessor of these Shaktis. So if Lord is the ultimate cause, then why did He kill Uttama? That you cannot know, because no one can understand the plan of the Lord. Therefore, understand, my dear Dhruva Maharaj, that the Yakshas are not the cause of your brother's death. Therefore, don't kill them unjustly like this. But then, even though if the Lord is the cause, then why He should not be blamed for, you know, people's killing? Because it is mentioned that He maintains, creates and destroys without any attachment or ego. And therefore He is not affected by the gunas. But then one may ask, how does He create, maintain and destroy, but still not be attached? How is it possible for the Supreme Lord to create something, maintain something, destroy something, and still not be attached? It's not seen in this material world. This is because He manages to do all of these using His Maya potency. He does not personally do it. Okay? Therefore, He does not suffer identity with ego in performing such actions. This is where we ended, isn't it? So now we'll start with the 27th verse.
Tameva mrityum amritam tata devam sarvatmano tehi jagat parayanam यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति गावो यता वै नसिदामयन्त्रिताः.
He says, my dear son, because even after hearing so much good advice and nice instructions from Swayambhu Manu, Dhruva might say, but still my heart is not pacified, you know, I cannot give up my ego. So the Lord says, Swayambhu Manu says, the only solution to give up the pushings of your ego is surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. So that's what He says. Tam daivam eva upehi. Therefore surrender unto the Supreme Lord alone. Who is the Supreme Lord? Mrityum amritam. He is simultaneously birth and death. Or eternality and death. He is death for those who do not surrender unto Him, for the materialists. And for those who take shelter of Him, He gives them eternal life. So therefore He is mrityum and amritam. Jagat parayanam. And He is the refuge of this whole world. And how should you surrender? Sarvatmana. Sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam. So you have to surrender with your whole being, with your mind, body and words. You should surrender to the Supreme Lord. Yasmai balim vishvasrija haranti. Yasmai unto whom vishvasrija, the creators of this are the devatas, balim haranti, they offer homage to this personality, all of them. Gavo yatad nasidana yantrita, just like bulls are controlled by the ropes tied to their noses, similarly, all these devatas, they are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they pay homage to this Lord. So therefore, tam eva daivam upehi, sarvatmana. So therefore, with all your mind, body and words, you surrender unto Him only. And then you will be able to overcome the pushings of your false ego and give up this fight. Like that, Swami Muni is instructing Dhruva Maharaj. Otherwise, all this good instruction apparently was not completely satisfying Dhruva Maharaj. Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur mentions, though I have been enlightened by you, Dhruva Maharaj says, I cannot give up my ego. So, understanding this mode of Dhruva Maharaj, Swayambhu Munu speaks the next four verses, 27, 28, 29 and 30. So he says, the only solution to give up your false ego is by surrendering to the Supreme Lord with your mind, body and words, with your whole being. Sarvatmana, tam daivam eva upehi, like that. Without surrender, it is difficult to give up ego by jnana alone, because till now you have given him jnana. So now he is telling that jnana alone cannot help you overcome the false ego. You have to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, like that. And Srila Prabhupada here in the purport writes, the material disease is to declare independence from Lord. That is a material disease. Everyone wants to become the supreme controller. Swayambhu Muni wanted to wipe out any last tinges of false ambition that Dhruva Maharaj had by explaining the position of the supreme controller. He says, so Swayambhu Muni wanted to wipe out any last traces of ambition that Dhruva Maharaj had to become the controller by establishing the supreme position of the Supreme Lord. Like that. Let's continue.
Yat panchavarsho jananim tangihaya mato satatya vachasa binna marma vanangatastatasa pratyadaksham aradya lebe murni padam trilokya.
He says, jananim vihaya. So he is again reminding Dhruva Maharaj that you have already done this. I am not telling you something new. You already did it when you are just 5 years old. And what all you gave up? Now you are acting as if you are so much attached to your brother, even though you are just your stepbrother. But when you are 5 years old, you gave up your mother. Janamin vihaya. From panchavarsha, that is the age when a child needs protection of his parents. At that age you gave up your mother, which means at that age you showed that kind of detachment. Can't you show it now? You are grown up now. Mato sapatnya vachasa binna marma, wounded by the words of your stepmother, vanangataha, you went to the forest. Tapasa pratyag aksham aradya, worshipping the Lord by your austerities, lebe murdi padam trilokya, you achieved the topmost position in the three worlds, the abode of the Supreme Lord. So something, this is something you achieved while you are just 5 years old. You showed so much detachment. You gave up the shelter of your dear mother's protection. So why can't you do it now? That's what he is indicating. So surrender to the Supreme Lord is not something new to you. So Srila Prabhupada here writes, Sangha Muni is requesting Griha not to do something which is unbefitting a surrendered soul. He was already a surrendered soul. So he was doing something which was unbefitting a surrendered soul.
Tamena mangatmani mukta vigrahe yatashritam nirgunamekam aksharam atmanam anvichcha vimuktam atmadrig yasmin nirandedam asat pratiyate.
Atmanam anvichcha. Therefore, my dear Dhruva Maharaj, seek out within your mind mukta vigrahe. Vigraha means here hostility, anger. With your mind devoid of hostility, in that mind which is devoid of hostility, seek out ekam aksharam tam enam vimuktam nirgunam vyapashritam. These are the various phrases glorifying the Supreme Lord, that qualify the Supreme Lord. Who is that Lord? Ekam, He is the one Lord. Aksharam, He is indestructible. Vimuktam, eternally liberated. Nirgunam, He is beyond the three gunas. Vyapashritam, He has taken shelter of your heart because of affection for you. That Lord has taken shelter of your heart because of affection for you. Atmadrik, on seeing whom yasmin idam vedam asat pratiyate, and by taking darshan of that beautiful form of the Lord, this whole world starts appearing to be disgusting. And you have taken darshan of that Lord, and now what are you doing? You are fighting and killing so many yakshas. Is this the act of a person who has realized the Supreme Lord? That Lord has vyapashritam, that Lord has taken shelter of your heart out of affection. Is this act befitting a person whose heart has been in whose heart the Supreme Lord has affectionately taken shelter? Like that he is indicating to Dhruva Maharaj.
Let's continue. Tvam pratyagatmani
tada bhagavatyananta ananda matra upapanna samasta shaktau bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakaira vidya grantim videtsyasi mamahamiti prarodham. Tada, at that time when you are just 5 years old, he is continuing. Bhagavati paramam bhaktim vidhaya. What did you do? How could you attract the affection of the Supreme Lord? Bhagavati paramam bhaktim vidhaya. You performed the pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. And shanakair vidhetsyasi. By that performance of pure devotional service, you gradually cut pravodam avidya grantim. Pravodam means very strong and deep. Avidya grantim, the knot of ignorance. When you are just 5 years old, by performing such intense pure devotional service, you had already cut the knot of ignorance. Mama aham iti, that ignorance which is characterized by me and mine, you had already done it. How has it resurfaced again? like that he is asking, which indicates that the even after reaching a very high stage of devotional achievement, it is always possible to, you know, act below one's qualification. So that's why at every stage one needs the association of devotees. That's what it indicates, like we saw the other day also. Satan prasangat mama vire samvido bhaktim mahuttavahatam paime prasango. This, when he was 5 years old, Dhruva Maharaj had offered, and the Lord is answering Dhruva Maharaj by sending Swayambhu Manu. You ask for it, okay, take it. And he comes and reminds him, shakes him up, wake up. Like that. So and the Lord is addressed there as Pratyagatmani. Pratyagatmani, the soul within all living entities, Ananta, unlimited, Ananda Matra, full of bliss, Samasta Shaktau Upapanna, endowed with all the energies. Like that. So here Swayambhu Manu is asking, how has this avidya ganta resurfaced again? When you are 5 years old, by performing powerful devotional service, you have already cut it. Like that. Not because of the act, but Swayambhu Manu could see within Dhruva Maharaj what was impelling those actions. It was not just the actions. Swayambhu Manu was much more capable of seeing into the what was triggering those actions. No. He crossed his limits. He should have probably, that's not exactly mentioned, but he, but oh, yes, Swayambhu Manu could do it to Dhruva Maharaj because he had the relationship. And at the same time, Dhruva Maharaj had set such high standards. So, therefore he was speaking like that. Otherwise, for a normal Kshatriya, probably this was a forgivable, you know, okay offense. But for someone who was devotionally so qualified, it was not acceptable. And because Dhruva Maharaj at such an early age had set such a high standard, therefore Swayambhu Manu is, you know, very heavy on him. Otherwise, I don't think it was like such a serious offense in that sense, because he was just retaliating the death of his brother. But then he definitely, he went beyond permissible limits. Yeah, no, that's why he says, Ati Roshena, he says. Ati Rosha is bad. You are crossing the limit. You are getting too much angry. So, if he had done it only as a matter of duty, that would have still been fine. Then he would have just... But then he allowed the emotions to, you know, carry him further. So, that was... That is my guess. I can only speculate about it. It could be either that act characterized that he crossed the limit, or maybe even from the beginning his the emotion that was triggering those actions itself was like, you know, atirosha. So it is not very clearly indicated here. At least I could not see. That's why I'm. This can only be speculated. I am not very sure. It's not very clearly given. Of course, it is given that only one yaksha attacked you. So, I would say it is safe to say that the attitude is being addressed here. What act actually, where did that rosha became atirosha, which act exactly, I don't know. But definitely that atirosha attitude was there in Dhruva Maharaj, and that is being addressed by Swami Bhuma. When it manifest, when that rosha became atirosha, at what stage of the battle, I don't know. You know, it's not very clearly given. Wipe out the whole yaksharai. Probably.
They also have the part of Christ because they are also not providing that one yaksha.
See, that's what all these other things are like, we can only speculate. Probably, it is not mentioned that they, because those details are not given. Did they come for a compromise? Okay, we will give you that one yaksha you kill and like that. Those details are not there. Heavy statements sometimes for someone who has set such high standards. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes dealing with some of his close associates. Quite heavy. With Pratap Rudra Maharaj, how he dealt with Mukunda, how he dealt with Chota Haridas, how he dealt. These are like unimaginable. Because they had such high standards, and they could take it also. So Swayambhu Manu understood that Dhruva Maharaj could take it. So he is giving, you know, very heavy stuff, because he was such an exalted personality. Therefore, he is even little bit of deviation from, you know, that standard he could not tolerate. So he is giving such heavy stuff, and he could take it, and he took it also in the name, the proper sense. There is no account of Dhruva Maharaj arguing that. Okay, fine. Like that. No dialogue. Okay, we'll continue. Yeah, that's why, you know, at any stage, one can always act below their qualification. It is always possible. See, there could have been a trace. As Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that Why did we read this? Swayamvamanu wanted to wipe out any last tinges of false ambition that Dhruva Maharaj had. So it could have been a tinge also. Not that he was completely in eye and mind consciousness, but there could have been a tinge. But because that tinge is also not acceptable for someone of the stature of Dhruva Maharaj, that chastisement is so heavy. Sanatana Goswami also chastising Rupa Goswami, or Rupa Goswami chastising Jiva Goswami. Can you believe such kind of chastisement? What did Jiva Goswami do? Was he really proud? No. But Rupa Goswami could trace probably a very, very, very fine tinge of it. And for someone of the stature of Jiva Goswami, it was not acceptable. So therefore he, you know, sent him out of Vrindavan. So from these statements, we should not conclude that Dhruva Maharaj was absolutely on the platform of me and mine. Could have been a trace. But still the trace is not acceptable for someone like Dhruva Maharaj. Therefore Swayambhu Munu came and corrected. But we can take that. We all are probably, you know, most of the times in the eye and mind consciousness. So for us, we can learn that, you know, this is not acceptable. How to get over it? Sarvatmana upehi. With all of one's mind, body and intelligence, we have to surrender into the Supreme Lord. Like that we can understand.
Okay, we'll continue.
Samyacharosham badram te pratipam shreyasam param shrutena bhoyasa rajan agadena yatamayam. O Rajan, agadena yatamayam. Just as sickness is controlled by medicine, shrutena bhoyasa, bhoyasa shrutena, by constant hearing, samyacharosham, you can control anger. Just as medicine can be controlled by sickness can be controlled by medicine, similarly anger can be controlled by constantly hearing good instructions. Shreyasam param pratipam. Pratipa means enemy. Shreyasam param pratipam means which is the greatest enemy of proper conduct. Which means if one, it is like, even if one is lusty, one can go unnoticed. But if one becomes angry and vents out, then it is all, you know, it is the, therefore it is called the great enemy of proper conduct. Bhadrante, here, Swayambhava Muni is telling, may all good fortune be upon you. Please, by taking shelter of these good instructions, give up your anger. So, here very interesting, Srila Vishnachakravarti Thakur mentions here, he says, this is simply imitating common behavior. Common behavior means common people, if you attack someone who is dear to them, then they go all out and retaliate by showing how much affection, in order to show how much affection they have for their near and dear ones, in order to show that they go and attack. The perverted reflection you see if some politician is arrested or something, you know, all their followers, they break things. Band, you know, some Bharat band, this is like perverted reflection. So here he says that this is simply imitating common behavior. Your show of anger externally is to announce to people your affection for your brother. Okay, You may think that I just wanted to show that my affection for my brother. So here he says, for devotees such as you, announcing your good qualities to the world is also a disease. To show that I am humble, I am like this, to announce your good qualities is also a disease. Therefore, give up this anger by my instructions. Just as sickness is cured by medicines, by good instructions, one can overcome this anger. Even though you may not be truly angry, but you wanted to show the world that I have love for my brother, even though he was my stepbrother, I have love. Because if you had not done it, then people might say that, oh, maybe Dhruva Maharaj was feeling little insecure. Or maybe he's trying to take revenge for his previous incident. So just to root out such things, to show that you love him still, you maybe he was acting like that. But he says, no, you may not have true anger, but even if you are trying to do it to show to people that you are good, announcing one's own good quality to common public is in itself a disease for a devotee of your stature. You should not do it like that. He is indicating here. So Srila Prabhupada also writes here, Dhruva is a liberated soul and therefore he was not angry. But as a Kshatriya, to keep good conduct and law and order, he had to show that he was angry. But anger is such that if not checked, it increases unlimitedly. Therefore, Swayamvara Muni was checking Dhruva Maharaj and he understood and stopped fighting. So Prabhupada writes, a slightly different angle Prabhupada gives, that Dhruva Maharaj was liberated. He didn't have any anger. But as a Kshatriya, to keep law and order, he had to do it. Okay? But anger is such that if it is not checked, then it increases unlimitedly. Like that, even if you see, sometimes when in dramas, when people are like very professional dramas, maybe not in today's day and age, maybe early, when someone gets really into the role, especially if it's like Narsingadev's role or something, they actually kill, you know, Prabhupada I think mentions it, you know, someone actually killed that person, killed, tore his,
really?
Like that.
It happened somewhere.
That's what I'm telling.
No.
Not in ISKCON. Previously in Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was young. And actually they realized that he didn't really intend to do it, and I think the court acquitted him or something like that. He really got into the mood of anger and you know, tore the stomach. Like that. What?
Man was his wife was found to be having some affair with some man, and his husband became very angry and he went and shot that man. He was taken to the court and he was relieved because he actually became angry there.
So he shot both of them. So, and Prabhupada talks about Shrutena Bhuyasa. He says, constant hearing not only helps one check anger, that is also the panacea for all material diseases. Bhavaushada shrotra manobiramat, as it is mentioned in the 10th canto. Bhava aushada, it is the panacea for all material diseases, constant hearing. And Prabhupada also gives another angle, defending actually Dhruva Maharaj. He says, actually Dhruva Maharaj becoming angry was appropriate. Prabhupada gives the example of Narada Muni instructing the snake. He says that, don't bite, but just raise your hood, okay, so that people will run away. But don't bite anyone. So, if the snake would not raise the hood and threaten people, then they would throw stones and kill it. Like so many snakes here are sort of killed here every day. Therefore, a devotee is non-violent. But if someone makes mischief, he becomes angry for time being just to drive the miscreants away. Like that, Prabhupada gives a perspective on Dhruva Maharaj's anger. It was just to keep the miscreants away, like that. So therefore, one should not, hearing Rambo Mano's instructions, as Pankaj Goprabhu was mentioning, one should not think that Dhruva Maharaj really fall to that level. Not really. Not really. But certainly he was at the verge of crossing the limit. That's what was identified by Swayambhu Manu, and he stopped him. That's all. So Prabhupada in this purport makes it very clear. Dhruva Maharaj was a liberated person. He certainly did not have anger. But anger is such that it, if not checked, it can increase unlimitedly. Like that.
येनोपसृष्टात् पुरुषान् लोक उद्विजते दृशं न बुधस्तद्वशं गच्छेत् इच्छन् अभयमात्मनः.
And also Dhruva Maharaj, loka udvijate drisham, everyone becomes terrified. Yena upasrishtat purushat, from everyone becomes terrified of that person who is afflicted with this anger. Abhayam icchan, therefore desiring freedom from death, buddha atmanah, that intelligent person, na tad vasham gachet, should not come under the influence of anger and should try to control that anger. So therefore, don't unnecessarily scare people. People will stop coming near you if you act like this. So therefore, an intelligent person who desires freedom from this material world should try to control this anger. Don't become controlled by that anger, like that is said. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport, a saintly person never becomes angry even if there is very great provocation. Prabhupada gives the example of Jesus Christ. If one treats others with non-enmity, then no one will become his enemy. He says, nip it at the bud. Don't treat everyone in a very friendly way so that no one becomes your enemy. Like that. So then, he says, Helanam giri shadbratur dhanadasya tvayakratam yajjagnivan punyajanan bhratrajnanitya marshitah. Yet amarshitah jagnivan punyajanan, because in anger you have killed so many yakshas, bhatrajnan, who might have killed your brother, tvaya dhanadasya helanam kritam, you have really offended dhanada, kuvera, girisha bratu, and this kuvera is the brother of Lord Shiva, and by killing his people, you have certainly offended Kuvera.
How is brother of Shiva?
How he is the brother of Shiva? I have read somewhere, I am not able to recall. Anyone remembers how he is the brother of Lord Shiva? Somewhere it comes. Was it in the Daksha episode? Okay, I'll try to find out. You also can try to find out. I don't exactly recall. Brother-in-law, how come?
तं प्रसाद्य वत्साशु सन्नत्या प्रश्रयोक्तिभिः नयावन्महतां तेज कुलं नो बिभविष्यति.
वत्स, माय डियर सन, तं प्रसाद्य आशु, इमीडिएटली पैसिफाई कुबेर. हौ? सन्नत्य प्रश्रय उक्तिभिः. Sannatya by offering respects, prashraya by your humble behavior, and uktibihi by kind words you try to pacify Kuvera.
Yavat mahatam tejah kulam no abhibhavishyati.
So that mahatam tejah, so that the anger of a great personality like Kuvera will not defeat our family. So immediately go, fall at the feet, show your humble behavior by kind words and offering respects. Try to pacify Kuvera. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada writes here,
in our common dealings we should maintain friendship with everyone, and certainly with exalted demigods like Kuvera.
Prabhupada says with everyone, and certainly with exalted demigods like Kuvera. The friendship means not friendship, but don't try to unnecessarily create enmity. Our behavior should be such that no one should become angry and thereby commit a wrong to our family. Unnecessarily don't create enmity. That's what Prabhupada is indicating. So finally, so we'll till the last verse that Swayambhu speaks to Dhruva Maharaj. So we have seen this. So we'll just try to see the last section that we have seen today, the evening section. So Dhruva Maharaj could say, though I have been enlightened by you, I am still not able to give up my false ego and follow your instructions. What should I do? So he says, you will be able to give up the ego only by surrendering to the Lord. And then he said, when you are just 5 years old, you went to the forest, and by surrendering to the Lord, you achieved the highest position in the three worlds. But now, tormented by dualities, if you now seek out that Lord within your mind, then the world filled with dualities will appear disgusting to you. So therefore seek him out in your mind. And then he says, I am not giving you a new solution. You had already cut the knot of ignorance by surrendering to the Lord when you were just 5 years old. Therefore, surrendering unto the Lord is the only solution. This is the conclusion of Swayambhu Manu. And then he said, just as sickness can be cured by medicine, anger can be controlled by continuously hearing good instructions. Everyone becomes terrified by an angry person. Therefore, an intelligent person must control it. You have offended Kuvera by this reckless killing of the Yakshas. Therefore, pacify him by offering respects, by humble behavior, and by gentle words, so that the anger of great persons will not affect our family. Okay. Like that, Swayambhu Manu concluded his instructions to Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah. That is also a part of surrender, no? Hearing, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Constant hearing of good instructions. They are not like they are complementary. They are not like mutually exclusive activities.
Surrender means what? How would you get the inspiration to surrender? By hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord only, no? And by hearing about the benefits of surrendering. So, hearing is very much a preliminary requisite to actually generate that mode of surrender. If one has not sufficiently heard, how will he surrender? Why would he surrender? So finally, the last verse, it is mentioned. This is Maitreya Muni speaking. Evam swayambha vaktautram anushasyamanurdhruvam tenabhivanditasakam rishabhipswapuram yayau. Thus after instructing his grandson Dhruva Maharaj, Swayambhu Manu, worshipped by Dhruva, departed to his abode with the sages. He went back. Okay. So now we will start the next chapter. We'll take a few minutes break. You can stretch, as Prabhuji suggested, yoga break. You need not do any yoga, but if you can, you know, the two exercises he taught yesterday, if you can do it in a few minutes, you can go ahead. Okay.
You are not there.
Then you can do Shavasana, no problem.
Dhruva Maharaj will go back home, back to Godhead in this chapter.
Not sure if it would happen today. If not today, tomorrow.
Dhruva planet.
Anyway, he waited 36,000 years, so he could wait one more day. It does not happen today. Okay, so Maitreya takes the narration forward. Maitreya vacha dhruvam nivrittam pratibuddhya vaishasat Apetamanyam Bhagavan Dhaneshwaraha Tatragadascharana Yakshakinnarai Samste Yamananyavadir Kritanjalim. Pratibuddhya Dhruvam Apetamanyam. So, apparently, Kurora was watching this whole show. Okay. So, Pratibuddhya Dhruvam Apetamanyam. So, he realized that now Dhruva Maharaj has cooled down. Vaishasad Nivrittam. And he had stopped killing. Bhagavan Dhaneshwaraha Tatra Agataha. So, he came there. Kurora came there. Charana Yaksha Kinnarai Samstoyamana. While being praised by the Charanas, Yakshas and Kinnaras, Nyavadat, he spoke to Dhruva Maharaj, Kritanjalin, who was standing there with folded hands. He was just trying to follow exactly what Swayambhu Manu had instructed him. Even otherwise he would have done it. But more so here, because Swayambhu Manu had told. So, offer your respects and with sweet words and a humble demeanor, try to please. Kuvera, like that. So now this is Kuvera speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. He says, Bho bho kshatriya dayada pavitishto smite naga yatvam pitamaha deshat Vairam dustyajam atyajah. Bhobo kshatriya davada. O son of a great warrior. Anagha. He says, don't worry, you are sinless. That's how he addresses Dhruva Maharaj. You are sinless, don't worry. You need not feel embarrassed seeing me. Paritushtosmite. I am very pleased with you. Yatvam vairam atyajaha, because you gave up hatred, dustyajam, which is very difficult to give, pitamaha adeshat, just by hearing good instructions from your grandfather, you gave up this very difficult to give anger, anger which is very difficult to give up, this enmity, but you gave it up. So I am very very pleased with you, and I want to remind you that you are not sinful. You are anaga, you are sinless person.
You didn't commit any mistake.
Then he continues. Na bhavan avadit yakshan na yaksha brataram tava kala eva hi bhutanam prabhur atyaya bhavayoho. So now he is giving his opinion of what is the actual cause. He says, na bhavan avadit yakshan. So he is telling Dhruva Maharaj, you did not kill the yakshas. Na yaksha brataram tava. And nor did the yakshas kill your brother also. Okay. Kala eva hi prabhu. Time is the master. Apyaya bhavayoho. Time is the master of destruction and creation for all beings. So therefore, time is the cause. You didn't kill the yakshas, nor did the yakshas kill your brother. Like that, he is telling. So Prabhupada also here mentions, when Kuvara addressed Dhruva Maharaj as Anagha, Dhruva out of embarrassment might have thought, is he sarcastically speaking or does he really mean, you know, what is this? Anagha? He's calling me Anagha? Therefore, to assure him, he speaks this verse. I'm not sarcastic, I really mean it. The real cause is time, he says. Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam chayadapriyam, as Bhishmadev says. In one sense, he's also right. He's not wrong. Like that.
Aham tam ityapartadir ajnanat purushasyahi swapni vabhatya tadhyanat yavavandaviparyayau. Ajnanat, he indirectly says, only out of ignorance. Where did this ignorance come from? Atadhyanat, from absorption in the body. Purushasya dihi aham tvam iti, from ignorance due to absorption in the body, a man's intelligence becomes absorbed in thinking in terms of I and mine. Swapni iva abhati, just like a dreamer is dreaming of various things which are illusory, similarly the person in ignorance also starts thinking in terms of me and mine with respect to this body, which is also illusory. Okay. Yaya bandha viparyayo, and by such a contemplation in terms of me and mine, bondage and suffering arises. Okay. And that man's intelligence becomes useless. On that platform, if one's intelligence gets on that platform, however great that intelligence may work, it is useless. Okay. It may give him the right intelligence to, his intelligence may guide him to use the right weapon, you know, pull the string to the exact tension so that the arrow may perfectly strike the opponent. The intelligence may give him just wonderful injunctions. But if that intelligence has come to the level of aham mama, then that intelligence is useless. So he doesn't, he says, you are anaga, don't worry. But he is indicating that any intelligence, however good it may be, but if it is on the level of bodily consciousness, it is useless.
That's what he is indicating here. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, this I and mine consciousness is due to lack of Krishna consciousness. How? Same thing Prahlad Maharaj also says. When Shanda and Amarka, the first time that Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu, my dear Prahlad, what have you learnt? What is the best thing that you have learnt? And Prahlad Maharaj says, Tatsadamanye Asuravarya Dehinam Sadasamadvignadiyam Asatkahat. And as soon as Hiranyakashipu heard this, what was his response? He laughed and he said, see how impressionable is a child, is a child's heart. Definitely some Vaishnava would have sneaked into the Gurukul and he would have spoiled the child's mind. And he laughed and he told Chanda and Amarka, be careful, you know, keep a watchful eye on these Vaishnavas, they may somehow try to sneak into the Gurukul. Take him back and be careful. Teach him proper knowledge. So Shanda and Amarka understood that this time Hiranyakashipu has laughed, but next time he is not going to laugh. Our heads will be rolling. So they were much more severe on Prahlad Maharaj. He said, who is that enemy who has spoiled your good intelligence? How come you are talking so foolishly? Who is that enemy? Prahlad Maharaj says, I am foolish. He says, watch your language. He says, just your language indicates who is foolish. And then he talks about how a real intelligent person does not talk in terms of dualities, of friends and enemies. So he says that the fact that you are talking in terms of friends and enemies shows that you are foolish. How come you are calling me foolish like that? He says. So Prabhupada also mentions the same thing. Just by watching one's language, one can very easily understand what is one's level. So here he says, I and mine consciousness is due to lack of Krishna consciousness. How? Prabhupada says, all jivas are part and parcel of Krishna, and if we have this understanding, then this misconception due to bodily consciousness cannot arise. Because you will see all living entities as being part and parcel of Krishna only. Okay? Then there is no question of, you know, I belong to this category, this caste, this nation. You know, that consciousness one will never have. So Prabhupada says, I and mine consciousness indicates lack of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gives an example. The hand is hand and leg is leg. But when in service of the body, they become one. Isn't it? Now, the stomach needs the food. Okay? The hand does not independently think, should I take it and feed the mouth? The mouth does not think, are chabane ke baad ultimately wo pet mein jaane wala hai, to make you chabaun. Like that. The mouth does not think. Okay? They all act in as one only in one sense. They all act as one entity in serving the body. Okay. Similarly, if all the jivas are serving the Lord, then there is no question of I and mine based on the body. Because everyone understands that everyone else, including me, is a part of Krishna's body. But this does not support the Mayavadi theory, as even though everyone is one, in the sense, everyone has the common goal of serving the whole. But that does not mean everyone actually becomes one. Individuality is maintained throughout.
That's what Prabhupada is mentioning here. Real knowledge is hand is hand, leg is leg, yet all together they are one. In the sense everyone is together, they are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. The concept of independent existence is like a dream. Although existing independently without having to serve the Supreme Lord is in itself a dream. Like that Prabhupada writes here in the purport. So then he continues.
Tadgacchadeva bhadrante bhagavantam adokshajam sarvabhutatma bhavena sarvabhutatma vigraham bhajasva bhajaniyangrim abhavaya davachidam yuktam virahitam shatya gunamayatma nayaya. Tadgacchadeva, therefore go, Dhruva Maharaj, bhadrante, may all good fortune be upon you. Abhavaya, for the purpose of, in order to attain the Supreme Lord, even though Kuvera, he is the treasurer, okay, and even though to his own people, the Yakshas, he may not give such a instruction, but still understanding the exalted position of Dhruva Maharaj, he gives an instruction which is very much in tune with the spiritual advancement of Dhruva Maharaj. He says, therefore, go and worship the Supreme Lord. Sarva bhutatma bhavena, thinking that all beings are equal to oneself. Thinking that all beings are equal to oneself means seeing others' happiness and distress as one's own happiness and distress. In that mood, Bhagavantam Adokshajam Bhajasva, worship the Lord who is Adokshaja, beyond senses. For what purpose? Abhavaya, in order to escape from this material existence. For that purpose, worship the Supreme Lord. And who is the Supreme Lord? Sarva Bhutatma Vigraham. He is the form of all living entities. Bhavat Chidam. He is the destroyer of samsara. Bhajaniya Angrim, and his lotus feet are most worthy of worshipping. Atma Mayaya Shaktya Yuktam, and he is endowed with the Maya Shakti. And what is this Maya Shakti? Gunamayi. She is made of three modes. Daivi Yesha Gunamayi. But Virahitam, even though he is endowed with this Maya Shakti, that Lord is not affected by that Maya Shakti. Okay? So basically what he says is, therefore, go and worship the Supreme Lord for the purpose of escaping this material existence. That should be our focus. This is Kuvera instructing Dhruva Maharaj. And who is that Lord? He is describing through various adjectives like this. So again, Vishnu Jagadagur is reminding again that he is joined to Maya, Atma Maya, which means his own Maya, okay, because Maya is his Shakti, but he is detached from his Maya, Virahitam, because that Shakti is not his Swarupa, like that. Then few points Prabhupada mentions in the purport. I will read some points from Prabhupada's purport. You can try to identify what is Prabhupada talking about. Dhruva Maharaj is recommended to perform devotional service. Bhajasva. Therefore, servant, served and service, all three has to be there. Servant, the person who is served, and service, all three have to be there. Therefore, one cannot serve something impersonal. So Prabhupada here, taking this word bhajasva, comes to the conclusion that the word bhajasva means You know, bhajan comes from the bhaj dhatu. Bhaj means to share, as in vibhajan. Means to share, to divide and share. So bhajan means willing to share something that belongs to oneself with someone else. That is the meaning of bhajan. So bhajan means sharing one's time, sharing one's resources, sharing one's mind, sharing one's intelligence with the Supreme Lord. That is bhajan. Okay. So Prabhupada says bhajan, bhajasva means someone else, some person has to be there with whom you can share. So therefore, you cannot share anything with something that is impersonal. So therefore, the word bhajasva indicates that the person with whom you are going to share, he must be a person. It cannot be something impersonal like that. Okay, so here I will read, you tell me what is Prabhupada talking about. So Prabhupada is commenting, he is commenting on this word yuktam. He says, the jivatmas are tatastha shakti, therefore they can engage either in the service of Krishna or in the service of Maya. The state of engaging in Krishna's service is called yuktam. Yuktam vairagyam uchyate, like that. Okay, let's continue. Vranihi kamam vipayam namogatam nattastamautanapade vishankitah varandararham bhujanabapadayor anantaram tyamvayamanga shishrama. Okay, nata autanapade, O son of Uttanapad, mattahatvam vranihi, please ask from me. Kaman yad manogatam, whatever benediction that you have in your mind, please ask. Okay. Avishankitah, don't hesitate. Whatever you want, I will give you. He could tell this to Dhruva Maharaj because he knew what he would ask. So definitely he is not going to tell that give me all your treasury. So that's why before only he says bhajasva, go and worship abhavaya. For the purpose of escaping this material world, worship the Supreme Lord, because that is your position. And then he says, no, please ask for any benediction. Any benediction you want, I am willing to give. Avishankitah, don't hesitate. Vayam varam vararho, we who should give you benediction, shushrama, again he adds, we have heard that tvam, that you are anantaram ambujanada padayor, we have heard that you are very close to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So any benediction you want, you please ask. Like that. If you ask for liberation, he is going to say, see, it's not, it's beyond my domain. You know, I don't have it, how can I give you? And anything else that I have, you are not going to ask anyway. So, ask for any benediction. We are here to fulfill your benedictions. You have fulfilled your desires. So, ask for any benediction. Like that. Varam vara arho. We should give you benedictions. That is our job. So, and we have heard that you are very close to the lotus feet of Ambujanada Padayoho. Anantaram, you are very close to the feet of the Lord. Tell me what benediction you want. Like that. Channelizing?
Channelizing Dhruva's thoughts. Think in this direction.
I will read. It was well known that Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. Such a pure devotee is worthy to receive all benedictions. What is Prabhupada talking about? He is talking about Vara Arho. Vara Arho also means he is, Dhruva Maharaj is qualified to receive all benedictions. Vara Arho. Material, spiritual and liberation. All kinds of benedictions he is worthy to receive. Therefore, Bilvamangal Thakur says, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Asmat. Mukti Devi herself comes with her, Mukulita Anjali means with her folded hands, willing to offer her service to a person who has served the Supreme Lord. Kora knew that Dhruva Maharaj would ask for nothing less than constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore he is telling him, Tvam Anantaram Ambujanada Padayor Iti Shushrama. We have heard that you are very close to the lotus feet of the Lord. What benediction you want? Okay, like that. So Maitreya Muni is going to tell us what benediction Dhruva Maharaj asked Kuvera. Saraja Rajena Varaya Chodito Dhruva Mahabhagavato Mahamatihi Harau Savagro Chalitam Smitin Yaya Paratyayatmina Duratyayantamaha. Raja Rajena Varaya Chodito. When Kora requested Dhruva Maharaj to ask for a benediction, Chodito means pushed him, inspired him. Saha Mahabhagavatah, the great devotee Dhruva Maharaj, Mahamatihi, who had great intelligence, Vavre, he actually asked for a benediction. What did he ask for? Harau Achalitam Smritim. He asked for fixed remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Harau Achalitam Smritim. Yaya, by such a remembrance, Tarati Duratyayam Tamaha Ayatmina. Yaya, by such a remembrance, one could cross Duratyayam Tamaha, the insurmountable ignorance of material existence, Ayatmina. Without any prayatna, without any difficulty, easily one could cross Ayatmina. So Achalitam Smritim, Harau Achalitam Smritim, as King Kulashekar asked for. Avismritistat Charanara Vinde Bhave Bhavene Astu Bhavat Prasadat. So Avismriti, he doesn't ask for Smriti. Smriti means remembrance. That remembrance could be sporadic also. It need not be continuous. So he doesn't ask for Smriti. Please give me Smriti of your lotus feet. Yes, no. He says, Avismriti. Vismriti means forgetfulness. Avismriti means never forgetful, which means constant remembrance, he is asking for. Avismriti tvacharanaravinde bhave bhave. In every life, which means that experience of constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord is so blissful that, you know, mukti becomes inconsequential. Inconsequential means it makes no difference. A devotee is not pro-mukti or against mukti. He doesn't care about it. Because he is experiencing a higher bliss by just remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, whether he gets it or not, it's inconsequential. It doesn't matter to him, actually. Like that. So he asked for Harau Achalitam Smritim. He requested for fixed remembrance of the Lord. Like that. So Prabhupada commenting on this verse, he writes, for a devotee who is absorbed in the Panchama Purushartha, in the in prema, liberation is like a blade of grass. Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he writes, ya mokshanta chaturvargas trinayante samam tataha. He says, moksha anta chaturvarga. These four purusharthas ending with moksha, they are like trinayante samam tataha. They are as insignificant as a blade of grass, like that. Therefore, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says, kaivalyam narakayate, like that. This is the verdict after analyzing the five purusharthas. This is the verdict of the Vaishnavacharyas after analyzing the five purusharthas. Why does he say that? Durdantendre kala sarpa patali prothkhata damshtayate vishvampurna sukayate vidimagendra adishta chakitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gaurame vastumaha. He says, for one who has received the karunya kataksha, the compassionate glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything becomes insignificant. So therefore Prabhupada says, this is the conclusion of the acharyas, this is the verdict of the acharyas after analyzing the five purusharthas. Like that. And then Prabhupada, I'll read, you tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. Unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take up to devotional service. Mahamati, he says, only a Mahamati, only a Mahabhagavat can be a Mahamati. He says, unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take up to devotional service. That is, one should not be interested in things of this material world. This is shown by Dhruva Maharaj here. When Kuvera himself asked, Kuvera is a treasurer of all the demigods. When he himself asked for a benediction, that he declined to ask for anything material. He asked for harau achalitam smritim, fixed remembrance of the Lord, like that. Okay. Tasya pritena manasa tambat vedavedas tatah pasyatom tarpadesopi svapuram pratyapadyata. Tasya pritena manasa, pleased with Dhruva Maharaj's attitude, Aida Vida is Kuvera. Why he is called, I don't know. Acha, oh, like that. The Prabhupada writes, okay, son of Ida Vida. Okay. Tam Bhatva Tataha. He says, okay, I can do that. I can help you attain the constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So he says, Tatastu. And Antarbade. And he then disappeared. Saha Pashyatahapi. While Dhruva Maharaj was watching, Kuvera disappeared from there. Swapuram pratyapadyata. Then Dhruvadan went back to his own city. So, Prabhupada here asks in the purport, Dhruva Maharaj was a Vaishnava. Why did he take a benediction from a demigod? Is it appropriate? So, Prabhupada writes that it is not that a Vaishnava is not supposed to take any benediction from the demigods. That is a misconception, Prabhupada says. It is not that a Vaishnava should not take any benediction from the demigods. He can take if it is favorable for his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay? And Prabhupada gives the examples of the gopis worshipping Katyayani Devi for attaining Krishna as their husband. Otherwise, a devotee does not even take liberation, even if the Supreme Lord offers it. Diyamanam na grananti vinamat sevanam jana. What to speak of the demigods, a devotee does not even accept liberation when offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, if that does not involve any service. So therefore, it's not that a devotee does not pray to the demigods, and it's not that devotee accepts whatever Krishna gives. It's not like that. Prabhupada is telling that anything that is favorable for Krishna consciousness, even if a demigod gives, a devotee accepts. If it is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, even if the Supreme Lord gives, a devotee rejects. So therefore, a devotee is not one who is characterized by he never worships the demigods. Not like that. You may worship the demigod also. Apparently Kora, I mean, I can speculate, probably Kora and the Subhut. He spoke in that way, that is also right. But at the same time, how could Kura say tatastu if he did not have the capacity to give it? Okay. First thing, my speculation, Dhruva Maharaj already had it. Okay. So if you have like 1 crore rupees in your pocket, you need a big pocket. But let's say, and if someone says, okay, may I have 1 crore rupees in my pocket? What is the big deal? Tatastu. Okay, he already has, you know. So that is one speculation, I don't know. And maybe these demigods, for sincere practitioners, probably they can give such benedictions because it is a harmless, very straightforward benediction that they are asking for. And if they are really sincere, probably the demigods are empowered to give such benedictions also. Two speculations, both, I don't know, if you want to add anything, you can add. This is my opinion. And again, what does Krishna say? That satava shraddaya yuttas tasya radhanam ihate labate cha tatat kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. He says that endowed with that faith, when a demigod worshipper worships the demigod, it's not that the demigod remunerates, but it is me only who remunerates. Then what is the big deal? Anyway, it is Krishna only who is remunerating. So even when he asks Kuvera for, say, give me 10,000 gold coins or whatever, something like that, even that Kuvera gets it from the Supreme Lord only. Mayaiva vihitan hitan, I only fulfill. So in that sense also you can see that, you know, if Kuvera is just acting as a vaya media, you know, to the Supreme Lord, and this request goes to the Supreme Lord, and through the vaya media of Kuvera, it again, that benediction comes back to Dhruva Maharaj. You could take it that way also. Okay, take that. अतायगत यज्ञेशं क्रतुर्भूर्दक्षिणैः द्रव्यक्रिया देवतानां कर्म कर्म फलप्रदम्। क्रतुर्भूर्दक्षिणैः, आफ्टर ध्रुव महाराज गोस बैक टू हिज ओन अबोड, क्रतुर by performing various kinds of sacrifices while giving lot of money in charity, ata ayajata yajnesham, he worshipped the supreme lord, the lord of sacrifice. Dravya kriya devatanam karma, who facilitates actions related to the materials, ceremonies and devatas. Karma phalat pradam, and who gives the results of sacrifice. So it is mentioned that he went back and perform lot of sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of sacrifice, and in doing that he gave lot of charity, okay, and he pleased the Supreme Lord like that, okay. So now the Prabhupada here in the purport writes about Kratubir Bhuri Dakshinaihi. In relation to the Prabhupada writes, these sacrifices or kratus are especially recommended for the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, after which they should give in charity liberally. Why? Why they should give in charity? Prabhupada writes, because sometimes the earning can be sinful. Or even inadvertently there may be some sins involved in that earning process. Therefore, yajna, dana and tapa should never be given up. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, yajna, dana, tapa, karma, natyajyam karyameva tat, yajna, dana, tapascheva, pavanani manishinaha. Yajna is for brahmacharis, dana is for the grihasthas, and tapasya is for the sannyasis, like the Prabhupada writes. So Dhruva Maharaj was the ideal king, therefore he emptied his treasury for charity. But of course Prabhupada then compares it with the modern monarchy, all democracy, they do only tax collection, but they do not, neither do they perform any sacrifices, nor do they give in charity. Also in today's age, other sacrifices, you know, fire sacrifices, they are very difficult to perform because no qualified brahmanas and no proper ingredients also. Therefore, Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this day and age. And charity can happen in the form of prasad distribution. And state administrators can also cooperate in this, like the Prabhupada says. In one sense, it's sort of happening, food for life programs. Okay, the state only gives the money, and ISKCON cooks prasad. They distribute prasad like that. So then, sarvatmanyachyute sarve tivrogam bhakti mudvahan tadarshatmani bhuteshu tamevavastitam vidhum. Tivra ogam bhakti mudlaham. On one hand, it is mentioned that he was constantly performing many many sacrifices and giving in charity. On the other hand, it is mentioned here that he was engaged in intense bhakti. Tivra ogam bhaktim udvaham sarvatmani achyute. And to that infallible Supreme Lord Achyuta, who is the soul of all beings, he performed intense continuous bhakti. On the other hand, previous verse said, he was constantly performing sacrifices. Okay. Dadarsha tam vidum eva atmani bhute shavastitam. And he saw the Lord alone situated in all beings and in himself. So now one may ask, only one thing can happen. Either he was constantly performing sacrifices or he was constantly worshipping the Supreme Lord. What exactly was he doing? So here, Sri Vaishnava Thakur commenting on this, he says, in it is mentioned that the kings have to perform sacrifices to please the demigods and brahmanas. In compliance to that duty, a form resembling the king, a form resembling the king's form, performed those duties. He didn't personally do. Like we always saw the example of Bharat Maharaj, I think I have quoted it few times. Bharat Maharaj, this is how he performed, Bharat Maharaj Ambarish Maharaj, that they appointed proxy, it is allowed. Okay, the Advaryu priest can double up as the Yajaman also. Okay, he can do simultaneously the part of the Advaryu priest and the Yajaman. Okay, and the sacrifice is still valid, completely valid. Okay, so Bharat Maharaj also, it is said that he perfectly performed all his yajnas, many different kinds of yajnas. But again, that is not acting below his qualification of being a pure devotee, because that yajna is complete only if he had faith in that yajna. But Bharat Maharaj, it is mentioned that he had no faith in the yajna. But the Advaryu priest was qualified at the level of karma. So when the Advaryu priest took the position of the Yajaman, the Advaryu priest had the faith. Okay. But Bharat Maharaj, or in this case Dhruva Maharaj or Ambarish Maharaj, they never had the faith. So only if they had the faith, then the result of that yajna comes to them. Like we saw, ashraddaya hutam dattam. If there is no shraddha, it's as good as not doing. But the Advaryu priest had shraddha. He had Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj, they had shraddha in only pure devotional service. So their performance of pure devotional service bestowed all the results. But they did not have any faith in these karmakandya sacrifices. But the Advaryu priests had. So they performed it. Okay. Like, Advaryu means, for the performance of yajna, different kinds of brahmanas are required. Hota, Udgata, Advaryu, and Brahma, like that. Four different kinds. You know, so one of them, they chant the mantras. One of them, they light the fire. Then they put the oblations into it. And another person oversees the whole sacrifice, like that. So there are like different kinds of brahmanas. The Advaryu, what exactly do they do? You know? Probably. Whether, are they called Ritviks? Ritvik means one who officiates a sacrifice. Or maybe all of them are called Ritviks, I don't know. A person who officiates a sacrifice is called a Ritvik. Okay. So, like that it is mentioned here. Advaryu. He is the one who initiates the fire. Okay. So, by chanting some mantras, he initiates the fire. Okay. So, first thing, they were not personally present, so they were not wasting their time. They were involved in performing pure devotion service. Second, the right example is set for the people. Because the, in all probability, you know, most of them would not be on the platform of pure devotional service. Okay? So therefore, they should not be encouraged to prematurely give up their own prescribed duties. So therefore, it was done. And he did not personally do it, but they did it through a proxy. And they did not have faith in, they had faith only in pure devotional service and not in this karmakandiya sacrifices.
Who got the result?
Huh?
Who got the result of sacrifice?
Whoever had faith in it, they would get the result.
priest will get, the other participants in the yajna, they would get, all of them would get. Huh? Praja, the praja would get rain and everything. Who? None of them personally performed it. They, they appointed proxies only because they needed time for performing pure devotional service. Okay, so only proxies would perform like that. Yeah, Prithu Maharaj, yeah. Of course. No, no. Where is it given? No, no, no. You have to show me the proof. That maybe, okay, in what context, you know, we need to understand. Okay, you can show me the, okay, anyway, but this is how they did. Okay, and there are few more points I am not able to recall. Anyway, to set the right example, that's what is indicated here also. In actuality, he did not have any time for such actions, that is explained in this verse. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, ordinary people are interested, who are interested in sense gratification, perform only sacrifices. But great devotees like Dhruva Maharaj perform sacrifices to set the right example. But and they also perform devotional service like that. And Prabhupada commenting, Prabhupada quotes this verse. I will just quote the verse, you tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. Stavara jangama deki na deki tara murti sarvatra hoi nija ishta deva spurti. Prabhupada is quoting this verse. Or its translation. What is Prabhupada talking about? Atmani bhuteshu avastitam dadarsha. He saw the Lord alone situated in all beings and in himself. Stavara jangama deki na deki tara murti. When he saw moving and non-moving things, he didn't see their form. In all those forms he saw his own Ishtadev manifesting because of his love. Preman janat churita bhakti vilochanena. Tamevam, yes. Chaitanya Charitamrit, I think this is a conversation between, or is it talking about Ramananda Rai? I think it's in Ramananda Samvad or somewhere. It has something to do with Ramananda Rai. Either it is about Ramananda Rai or somewhere you can check out. Stavara Jangamadi. Glories of Haridas Thakur. No, 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 no. I don't think so. Stavara Jangamadeki. Ramananda Rai. There. Oh, yes. I think this is Ramananda Rai speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think he calls Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this is the vision of a pure devotee. He sees Krishna in Stavara Jangama, something like that, isn't it? You see, the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, like that.
Ramananda Rai is saying that I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth. I actually see you in this way and it is very wonderful, my Lord. Please tell me without duplicity what is causing this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies that you have deep love for Krishna.
Like that.
And deep aesthetic love, you see such things everywhere.
Then he says, Tamiram Shila Sampannam Brahmanyam Dina Vatsalam
गोप्तारं धर्म सेतूनां नेनिरेतरं प्रजाः.
He is Maitreya describing the rule of Dhruva Maharaj. He says, Tam evam menire prajaha, the citizens considered prajaha, tam evam menire, the citizens considered Dhruva Maharaj, dharma setunam goptaram, as the protector of the rules of dharma. Shila sampannam, they saw him as a person endowed with all good qualities. Brahmanyam, very respectful to the brahmanas. Dina vatsalam, very affectionate to the miserable. Such a wonderful personality, Pitaram, he saw them to be, they saw him to be his own father, their own father.
So Prabhupada here in the purport writes that
any king or leader must be endowed with the qualities, with these qualities to make the citizens happy. What are the qualities? Dharma Setunam Gupta, protector of the rules of dharma. Shila Sampannam, all good qualities. Brahmanyam, respectful to the brahmanas. Dina Vatsalam, and affectionate to the miserable. And Pitaram, having a very vatsalya bhav towards his citizens. Okay. Then Prabhupada writes, when the king or the leader takes care of his citizens like his own children, then they will be very satisfied. Pitaram, regarding that Prabhupada writes. But at the present moment, the government doesn't even take care of the primary necessities of the citizens. What to speak of caring like a father? And Prabhupada writes, the state should be very respectful to societies that distribute God consciousness. What is Prabhupada talking about? Brahmanyam. Exactly. Prabhupada's meaning is gone only.
Okay, let's continue.
Shatram Shadvarsha Sahasram Shashasa Kshiti Mandalam Bhogai Punyakshayam Kurvan Abhogai Rashubakshayam.
Okay. Bhogaihi Punyakshayam Kurvan. So, he desiring to decrease his pious results by enjoyment, Bhogaihi Punyakshayam Kurvan, Dhruva Maharaj desired to decrease, destroy his pious karma by enjoying. Abhoga Ashubakshayam, and he desired to destroy his sinful reactions by austerity. Shashasa Kshiti Mandalam Shatrimshat Varshasasam. He ruled the earth for 36,000 years like this. Of course, this was the mode of all the great devotees who never thought that they were beyond the pious and impious reactions. They never thought that they were pure devotees. So whenever they got some wonderful opulence, they thought that unfortunately my punya is not yet destroyed, that's why I am getting all this. And whenever they are put into some difficult situations, they thought that I am such a sinful person, I am reaping benefits of my own karma, so therefore let me suffer. Okay. Out of humility, Dhruva Maharaj was thinking like this. Okay. So it was not true that he actually had some pious and impious reactions to destroy. Like that. Both Prabhupada and Buddha could mention here the same thing. Prabhupada writes, when he is, a devotee is not affected by enjoyment or distress. When he is prosperous, he knows, I am diminishing reactions of my impious activity, or pious activity. And when in distress, he thinks that I am diminishing my impious reactions. But actually, a devotee is not concerned with enjoyment or distress as his service goes. As his service goes up pratihata,
unchecked by enjoyment or distress. He is not bothered really. And Prabhupada also writes that these four regulative principles and performing Ekadashi Vrata are for purifying one from the past sinful life. When one practices them properly, then it will purify them of past sinful life, like that.
But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj,
only out of humility he was thinking like that. This was not true. He was thinking, he didn't consider himself to be a pure devotee of the Lord, where he was thinking that the Lord is personally giving me this opulence, which was true. But he saw the opulence to be an indication that his punya is not yet destroyed due to bhakti. So he was thinking that it was an indication of his deficient devotional service. He was seeing it as a deficiency in his devotional service out of humility. Either the distress or the opulence. He was seeing it as an indication of his deficient devotional service. Out of humility he was thinking of that. Even though the Lord was orchestrating the whole thing, that's what he does in the life of a pure devotee. But he never considered himself as a pure devotee. एवं बहुसवं कालं महात्मा विचलेन्द्रियः त्रिवर्गौपैकं नीत्वा पुत्रायादन्वतासनं मन्यमाना इदं विश्वं मायारचितमात्मनि अविद्यारचितस्वप्न गन्धर्वनगरोपमम् ओके एवं बहुसवं कालं नीत्वा व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ व्हाई द वर्ड एवं इज यूज्ड Why? Like what? Yeah, during the 12 whole time, but why evam? Evam means like this. Like what? So which? What? I know that. Performing pure devotional service and Bhogena punyam kushalena papam. Considering whatever distress came, considering that my impious reactions are not yet destroyed, whatever opulence came, my pious reactions are not yet destroyed, so let me, you know, experience it. Like that he was thinking. That way, evam, in this way, with this mentality, bahusavam kalam nitva, passing many, many years, trivarga upaikam, all which is suitable for enjoyment of artha, dharma and kama. It is interesting because the Supreme Lord himself told Dhruva Maharaj that this 36,000 years that you rule here, I am giving you, okay, and you will enjoy all the opulence and your senses will be fully capable of enjoying. From the very mouth of Supreme Lord, he heard it. But still he thinks, out of humility, that, you know, unfortunately, my bhakti is deficient, that's why, you know, I'm still getting all this opulence like that. Passing many years suitable for enjoyment of artha, dharma and kama, avichalendriyaha, with undisturbed senses, Mahatma, the great devotee Dhruva Maharaj, idam vishvam maya rachitam manyamana, realizing that this universe made by maya, swapna gandharva nagara upamam, is like a gandharva city manufactured in a dream, atmani avidya rachita, caused by ignorance in oneself, putraya adan vritasanam, he handed over the throne to his son. So, realizing that this universe made of Maya is like a Gandharva city. Gandharva city does not indicate that it is unreal, but understanding that it is temporary. That's what it means. He handed it over to his son. So Prabhupada here is commenting on avichalendriya. So he says, this indicates that even at 36,000, even for 36,000 years, his sensory power had not diminished. Even though his sensory power had not diminished, but he was not interested in sense gratification. Okay, there is a difference. His sensory power did not diminish, is not necessarily an indication that he was interested in sense gratification. Dhruva Maharaj perfectly performed duties according to Trivarga with full self-control. Another example is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami, that perfectly perform your prescribed duties towards your parents, just like a lady with a paramour would very carefully perform duties to her husband, like that. Only devotees can manage this. Other yogis and jnanis can only try it artificially, like the Prabhupada writes. Okay, let's continue.
Atmastriyapatya suhrido balam vidbakosham antapuram parihara bhuvascharanya bhumandalam jaladine kalana kalaya kalopasrishtamiti satpravayai vishalam. Considering that the body, wives, children, friends, military power, treasury, female quarters, beautiful parks, and the whole area surrounded by the oceans would all be destroyed by time, kala upasrishtam sat pravayai vishalam, he went to Badri Vishal, Badrikashram.
Prabhupada writes an interesting purport here. Dhruva Maharaj was initially after getting a kingdom greater than even his great-grandfather. Therefore, he went to the forest, performed strict austerities, met the Supreme Lord, and then realized that everything is actually illusion, eventually. So Prabhupada says, therefore, somehow or other, if one becomes Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what his motivation is in the beginning. He will eventually realize the real truth by the grace of the Lord. So therefore, if one takes up to worship of the Supreme Lord, it is just a question of time before their other desires would vanish. If one is sincerely worshipping the Supreme Lord, then it is just a matter of time before his other desires would vanish. The moment one becomes a devotee, he is bound to become a pure devotee. There is no choice. It's just a question of time. Some people may take little longer, some people may become little more faster. But the moment one takes up to worshipping the Supreme Lord, he is bound to become a pure devotee. 100% chance. Okay, there is no doubt about it. Oh, explanation. So, as Krishna says, Anya Kami Yadi Kare Krishnura Bhajana. What is that? Can you read? Na nagiteha Krishna tare deha svacharana. Then Krishna kahe anabhaja mago vishaya suka amrita chadi vishaya Ehi bada murka. So you, can you read the translation of all these verses? What is the starting?
If those who desire material enjoyment,
if those who desire material enjoyment,
or merging into the existence of the absolute truth, engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet.
Although they did not ask for it, they immediately attained Krishna's lotus feet.
Therefore, very merciful. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opposites of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison.
Continue.
Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment.
Yeah. What is the meaning? If one takes up to worshipping Krishna, then Krishna's lotus feet is compared to Ichchapidanam. Ichchapidanam means the superset of all the desires. So, he approached the Supreme Lord with some small desire, but because he suddenly comes in touch with the superset of all desires, so why would he give it up? So he slowly gives up all his other desires and starts worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, one cannot be Anyakami for long if he takes up to worshipping the Supreme Lord. Very soon Krishna makes him forget his other desires by giving him a higher taste. That's what it means. So therefore Prabhupada writes here, somehow or other, if one becomes Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what his motivation is in the beginning. He will eventually realize the real truth by the grace of the Lord. Even a minute progress in this line is better than perfectly following karma or the other processes. Prabhupada quotes, Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanambujam Harer Bhajan Apakvo Ata Patet Tato Yadi Tatra Kva Vabhadramabhut Amushyakim Koyarta Apto Abhajatam Sudharmatah. He says, even little bit if one practices, then that Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar Vihatam Ichchen Na Rasagraho Jana. Krishna gives him the taste and the taste haunts him forever. He cannot give up that taste, so he runs behind that taste and eventually gives up all other desires like that.
Pasyam vishuddha karana shivavar vigahya badvasanam jitanarun manasa hrutaksha stule dadara bhagavat prativopayetat Dhyayam stadavyavahito visrudat samadho.
Pasyam. Pasyam means in Badrikashram. Dhruva Maharaj has now enthroned his son and he has gone to Badrikashram. So now this narration is Dhruva Maharaj in Badrikashram. Okay. Vishuddha Karana, purifying his senses there. Again, he is thinking like that. I am purifying my senses. Doesn't mean Dhruva Maharaj's senses were impure. Shiva var vigahya, he bathed in the pure water. Bhadvasanam, he sat in the proper position. Jita marut, he controlled his breathing. Manasa ahruta akshaha, he withdrew his senses by the mind. Stule bhagavat pratirupa dadara, he concentrated on the substitute form of the Lord, the universal form. Okay. Again, this is a little confusing. Why was he meditating on the universal form? All the while we thought he was a pure devotee. Prabhupada by Charcha Vigraha, Vishnu Jagadagal will talking about talking that Bhagavat Pratirupa, the substitute form of the Lord, which is universal form. Okay, and he explains that. Of course, Prabhupada writes Archavigraha. Jayam stat avyavahito vyasrijat samado. Meditating continuously on the actual form of the Lord, he then gave up that universal form in samadhi. So, Vishnu Jagadagal writes that he was acting in this way to set the right example for the yogis, for the renunciants who if they were in the initial stages were supposed to meditate on the universal form and then later meditate on the actual form of the Lord. That's what is indicated here. And then meditating continuously on the actual form of the Lord, he gave up that universal form. So actually Krishna Jagadakur in the next to next purport he says, out of obligation, he performed yoga for 2 or 3 days to respect proper conduct of the yogis. Actually, he did not have any time for yoga. The cause of his, of course, the next verse talks about, you know, how he started crying tears and his hair stood on end, all the Ashtasattvika vikar manifested. So it is mentioned that the cause of his Ashtasattvika vikar, these symptoms, okay, was not yoga. It was due to bhakti only. He was just showing the common people the process of karma yoga for the householders and ashtanga yoga for the renounced people. For those who are not yet qualified for pure devotional service, he was just showing them the right way to do it. And this also he did for only 2 or 3 days, it is mentioned. Subsequently, he performed pure devotional service. Because still, people were looking up to him because he was such an exalted personality. People were looking up to him. So therefore, he did not give up his duties even after he renounced his kingdom. For at least 2-3 days, he set the right example for other less qualified people to follow, and then subsequently, he did only pure devotion service. That's why Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions. Of course, Prabhupada here in the purport, in this purport, talks about Stule Bhagavate Rupe, he says, it indicates Archa Vigraha. Okay. Archa Vigraha is a form of the Lord made of wood, metal, etc., so that it can be appreciated by devotees. These are called Stula or physical representations. Like that. Then, Bhaktin Harau Bhagavati Pravahan Najasvam Ananda Bhashpa Kalayam Hurardhyamana Viklidhyamana Hrudayat Pulaka Chitango Natmana Nasmarada Saviti Mukta Linga. Bhaktin Harau Bhagavati Pravahan. He constantly engaged in bhakti to the Supreme Lord. This was his actual duty. This is what he was doing. Ajasram Ananda Bhashpakalaya Muhur Ardhyamanaha. He was constantly afflicted by tears of bliss. Viklidhyamana Hridaya, and his heart melted. Pulaka Chitango, the hair stood on end. Na Atmanam Asmarad Asav, he could not remember his body. Iti Mukta Linga, since he was free from bodily identification. Like yesterday, the Bhaumik Prabhu, the physiotherapist, he was mentioning, I don't have a solution for your dancing thing because you are like completely, you know, you have forgotten, cut off from your body, he said. Just like a person who is completely intoxicated. He says, when he is falling into the ditch and hurting himself, at that time it does not pain. But unka nasha jab utar jata hai, tab, you know, he starts feeling, you know, so pain. So similarly, he said that when you guys are dancing, you know, it is like you are disconnected from your body, like that. Yes, of course, not true so much at this stage.
But this is obvious. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's continue.
सदर्शाविमानाग्र्यं नभसोऽवतरद्रुवः पिब्राजयद्दश दिशो राकापतिम् इवोदितम्
ध्रुव महाराज saw the foremost airplane descend from the sky, illuminating all directions like the rising of moon. राकापतिम् इव उदितम् राका means night, राकापति is moon. Okay. So Prabhupada here in the purport talks about how is it that Dhruva Maharaj could see the airplane which had descended from the spiritual world. So Prabhupada says there are five levels of knowledge, you might have heard about it. Pratyaksha, Paroksha, Aparoksha, Adokshaja and Aprakrita. Five. So Pratyaksha, Paroksha, Aparoksha. Is it no. What is the third? Pratyaksha, Paroksha, then fourth is Adokshaja, fifth is Aprakrita. What is the third one? Aparoksha. So Prabhupada says there are five levels of knowledge. Direct knowledge, which is Pratyaksha. Knowledge received from authorities. This is Paroksha. Then transcendental knowledge, which is Aparoksha. The knowledge beyond the senses, Adhokshaja. And the fifth is spiritual knowledge, Aprakrita. Five. Dhruva Maharaj was in the third stage or beyond, which means his knowledge, he was on the level of transcendental knowledge or beyond. And therefore he could perceive the transcendental airplane. This is not possible in the early stages of perception, Prabhupada writes. Such a knowledge is a special favor of the Supreme Lord. But one can gradually rise to that stage through the practice of devotional service. It comes by the grace of the Lord, but gradually by practice of devotional service one can raise oneself to that stage from Pratyaksha to Paroksha to Aparoksha, Adokshaja and Aprakrita. Like that. What? Okay. Tatrana deva pravarau. What is the meter? Tatrana deva pravarau chaturbhujau shyamau kishoravarunando dikshanau sthitavavashtadya gadam suvasasau kiritaharangada charukundalau. So the people who had come in that airplane to fetch Dhruva Maharaj back to the spiritual world, the description of those devotees is given. Tatra, in that airplane, Anu Deva Pravarau, he saw then two persons, the best of the devatas, Shyamau, dark in complexion, Kishorau, youthful, Chaturbhujau, with four arms, Aruna, Ambuja Ikshanau, reddish lotus eyes, Suvasasau, wearing fine clothing, Kirita, Hara, Angada, Charukundalau, crowns, necklaces, bracelets and beautiful earrings, Gadam Avashtabdya Sthitau, and they were standing holding the clubs.
Vijnayatayottamagaya kinkara abhyuttita sadvasa vismritakrama nananananani grinan madudvisha parshatradhana viti sanhatanjalihi.
Vijnayatav Uttamagaya Kinkarav. Immediately Guru Maharaj could understand that these were the servants of the Supreme Lord. Parshada Pradhanav, they were the foremost of his servants. So as soon as he realized it, Abhyuttitaha, he immediately stood up. Vismrita Krama, he forgot the proper order of worship. What should I do first? He totally forgot. Sadhvasa, out of bewilderment, out of love, just like the wife of Vidura, you know, she gave the peel, banana peels, and threw away the banana pulp. So as soon as he forgot out of bewilderment what to do, nanana, he immediately offered respects. Madhudvishaha namani grinan, and he just chanted the holy names of the Lord. He didn't know what to do. So Srila Vishnadatta Thakur writes here that out of confusion he forgot the sequence of worship. Thus he just chanted the names of the Lord, Jaya Narayan, and offered respects. He just chanted the holy names and offered respects. And Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport here. Chanting the holy name is perfect in every way. For example, Dhruva Maharaj was puzzled on seeing the Vishnu Dutas, but simply by chanting the holy name he could satisfy them. Therefore, a devotee, whether in danger or in happiness, always chants. When in danger, the holy name relieves him of his danger, and when in front of the Lord or his associates, the holy name can please them. This is the absolute nature of the holy name. When in danger, you chant the holy name will protect. When you are in front of the Lord or his devotees, you chant the holy name, they will become pleased. So like that, the holy name is absolute. Whatever you want, the holy name will accomplish. Like that. Yeah. Whatever it is, Hari Bol. Someone passed away, Hari Bol. Someone donated something, Hari Bol. Something bad happens, Hari Bol. Some birth, Hari Bol. Some death, Hari Bol. Everything. Okay. Like that.
Tam Krishna Pada Divinishta Chetasam Baddhanjalim Prashrayanam Rakandaram Sunandananda Upasrishtya Sasmitam Pratyuchatu Pushkaranada Sammatau.
Pushkaranada Sammatau, the esteemed servants of the Lord, lotus kneeled Lord, Pushkaranada Sammatau, who are they? Sunanda Nanda, Sunanda Nanda. Yeah, one of the gatekeepers. Sasmitam. Sasmitam, while smiling, Tam Upasritya Pratyujatuhu. They approached Guru Maharaj and spoke. Baddhanjalin spoke to Guru Maharaj, who was standing with folded hands. Prashraya Namrakandaram, and he had bowed his head down. Krishna Pada Abhinivishta Chetasam, while absorbed in meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, he was paying obeisances to them. Unto that Dhruva Maharaj, Nanda and Sunanda, they spoke. Sammatau, the word Sammatau means very obedient. And Prabhupada commenting on this, Prabhupada writes, the word Pushkaranada Sammatau indicates obedient servants of the Lord. Material life is characterized by disobedience to the will of the Lord, and spiritual life is vice versa. Is characterized by obedience to the will of the Lord. Human form of life is a chance to be trained to be agreeable to the will of the Lord. Agreeable to the will of the Lord. Snigdeshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatimsta Vishnu. to become sneha, to become very malleable to the will of the Lord. Human life is the opportunity. Therefore, ISKCON is there for this training, to train people to become malleable to the will of the Lord. That is the purpose of ISKCON, Prabhupada writes. Sunandananda, Sunandananda uchatuhu bhobo rajan subhadrante vacham no vahitashranu yat panchavarshas tapasa bhavan deham ati pripat. Bhobo rajan, O king, what happened? Sounds funny. So, I remember one of my old roommates when the first time he was reading Bhagavad Gita, he was laughing like anything. I was wondering what is so funny in Bhagavad Gita if he was reading at least Bhagavatam. So he said, yeah, I found some very funny verse, he was telling. So he said, what is that? So, yeah, same thing. He read Yo Yo Yam Yam Tanam Bhakta. He said, what is Yo Yo Yam Yam? Like that. And it was so funny for him that he was laughing and laughing and laughing. So, O King, Subhadrante, all good fortune to you. Yaha Devam Atitripat. O King, who pleased the Supreme Lord, tapasa by austerity, bhavan panchavarshah, when you are just 5 years old, may all good fortune be upon you. Naha vacham avahitah shrunu, please hear our words attentively. We are going to tell you something very important. So Shri Lakshmana Chalera goes here, that by saying Subhadrante, they indicate that he would attain the Lord's abode in the self same body. Okay, that's what is going to happen now. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, what was possible for Dhruva Maharaj is possible for anyone. ISKCON is there to train children from 5 years old so that they can become perfectly Krishna conscious in a very short time. Therefore, it is necessary to start such educational institutions so that they don't become hippies but devotees. Then the face of the world will change automatically. So, Prabhupada writes. Tasya tilajjagadhatur avam devasya sharanginah parshadaviha sampraptav netam tvam bhagavat padam. Avam means we. Devasya parshadav, we are the associates of the Supreme Lord. Who is the Supreme Lord? Akila jagat dhatuhu, who is the creator of this material world. Sharanginah, and he holds a saranga bow in his hand. And we, iha samprata, we have come here tvam bhagavat padam netum, in order to take you back to the spiritual world, we have come here. Okay. Sudurjavam vishnu padam jitam tvaya yat surayo prapya vichakshate param atishta tachandra divakaradayo grihakshatara paryanti dakshinam. Vishnu padam jitam tvaya, you have attained the planet of Vishnu, Sudurjayam, which is very difficult to attain. Okay. Yet Surayo Vichakshate, that planet of the Lord, the exalted devatas only get to see, aprapya, but they cannot attain it. Okay.
Atishta, you please stay there in that abode. Chandra, Divakara, Adohad, Sun, Moon and other planetary systems. Griha, Raksha, Tara, Pariyanti, Parandakshinam. All the planets and constellations, they will circumambulate this planet. So you are going to attain that planet. Pradakshina. Pradakshina means by keeping it on the right. Dakshini. Dakshini Kritya. So whenever you are performing Pradakshina, that which you are doing Pradakshina is always on your right. Have you noticed? Always on your right. Like that. That is the meaning of Pradakshina. Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Great scientists and philosophers try to achieve the spiritual sky, but they cannot go there. But the devotee easily realizes and goes there through Krishna consciousness. And Dhruva's life is a practical example of this. Others want to go to moon and other planets, but a devotee sees all those planets in his trip back to the spiritual sky. Just as one would see other stations between two terminus. If he is travelling between two terminus, the train would stop at different stations. You get to see all these stations. Whereas others are trying really hard to go to moon and other planets, a devotee without even desiring gets to see all those planets in his trip back to the spiritual world. Like that. Acha? Probably. Just one second. Anastitante pitrabir anya rapyangakarhichit atishta jagatan vandyam tadvishno paramam padam. O Dhruva, atishta tadvishno paramam padam, stay in that supreme abode of Vishnu. Karhichit anastitam te pitribir, a place not achieved by even your forefathers. Anyairapi, not achieved by anyone else also. Jagatam vandyam, and it is worshipped by the whole universe. Okay, stay there in that abode of Vishnu. Okay, let's continue. Etad vimana bhavanam uttama shloka maulina upastapitam mayushman adirodam tvamarhasi. O Ayushman, O immortal being, tvam adirodam arhasi, you are qualified to board etat vimana pravaram, this excellent plane. Upastapitam, sent uttama shloka maulina, sent personally by the best amongst all famous persons. Who is he? The Supreme Lord. He has personally sent this plane for you, and now you please board this plane. Okay. So Prabhupada here talks about interplanetary travel. Okay. So he says, next to the pole star is Shishumar, where Lord Vishnu stays. Both these places can only be attained by the Vaishnavas. There are four methods of interplanetary travel. Prabhupada says the first way is Ka Pota Vayu. means through a ship that carries one through ether, air, ether and air. Kaha is ether, pota is air. Ship, pota is ship, and kapota and kaha vayu means ether and air. Kapota vayu means through a ship that carries one through ether and air. That is one way of interplanetary travel. And then second, kapota vayu means through pigeons. One can train pigeons to carry oneself to other planets. Pigeons can carry you. You want to try? But you have to train them.
But they have the ability to go to other planets.
If you train them. If you have the ability to train them, they have the ability to track you to other planets. Okay. And the third he says is Akasha Patan, a system to carry one at the speed of mind. But all these three are material. But material scientists are still aware of only the first way, Ka Pota Vayu, which means like through the spaceships. Okay. But they did not know the other two, Akasha Patan and Kapota Vayu. But then there is another way that is transcendental. He says, this is the Vaikuntha process. This Vaikuntha process is transcendental to the above three. Material scientists cannot see it or imagine how they can fly. They can neither see it nor can they even imagine like that. Maitreya Vyacha Nishamya Vaikuntha Niyajya Mukhyayor Madhuchitam Vachamurukrama Priyah Kritabhisheka Krita Nitya Mangalo Munin Pranamya Shisham Abhyavadayat. Nishamya Madhuchitam Vacham, hearing those sweet words which were like honey dripping, Madhuchitam Vacham. Vaikuntha Niyajya Mukhyayoho, which was emanating from the mouths of the two associates from Vaikuntha. Urukrama Priyaha. Dhruva Maharaj, who was very dear to Lord Urukrama. Krita Abhishekaha. He said, get on the airplane. And he said, yes, sure. And he goes to take bath. Let me take bath. Okay. And Krita Nitya Mangala, he performed his daily rituals. 16 rounds. Munin Pranamya, and in that forest of Badrikashram, all the whoever sages were there, he went, offered his respects. Ashisham Abhyavadaya, and he had them bless him. He is going to spiritual world before them. He should be blessing them. But he went and requested blessings. Mera Vaikuntha Viman aya hai, please mujhe. Say, we are here doing tapasya for so many decades and centuries. And here he is telling. Just he came few days back. And he says, Mera Vaikuntha vehicle has come, please give me. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, we should mark that how beautiful Dhruva Maharaj was in his devotional service. Even at the time of leaving this material world.
So Prabhupada then commenting on the word Krita Abhishek, Prabhupada says, one should take early bath and ornament his body with the 12 tilaks. At Badrikashram, where Dhruva Maharaj was staying, there were other sages. He didn't become puffed up, but he took blessings from all of them before leaving to Vaikuntha, like that.
Parityabhyarcha Vishnagriyam Parshadavabhivandacha Yeshatad Adishtatam Bibhradrupam Hiranmayam. Paritya Abhyarcha Dishnya Agriyam. Then he came back, he circumambulated and worshipped that plain. Parshadav Abhivandacha, and he also offered respects to those two associates, Nanda and Sunanda. Bibhra Dhiranmayam Rupam, and then assuming a golden form, his complexion changed to golden. Tad Adishtatam Iyesha. Then he desired to board that plane.
So Prabhupada here writes, in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual like the Lord. Therefore, the plane and the associates were also as worshipable as the Lord. Because Dhruva Maharaj was also going there, his body also changed to become one in quality with the other two associates. His body also changed to be one in quality with the other two associates. But the Mayavadis cannot imagine how this oneness can be achieved even in different varieties. For them, matter, then opposite of matter is spirit. Spirit means homogeneously spirit, that is their speculation. Or that's as far as their speculation can reach. They cannot understand beyond that. Just as Shishumar and Dhruvaloka are spiritual, a temple is also spiritual, though it is within this material world. Therefore, everything in the temple is also as worshipable as Vishnu. Like that.
Tadottana pada putro dadarshanta kamagatam mrityor morni padandatva adurohadvatam graham.
Tada, at that point of time. At tada indicates what point? When he desired to board the plane, tada, at that time what happened? Uttana pada putra, the son of Uttana Padro Maharaj, Dadarsha Antaka Nagatam, he saw death personified approaching him at that time. He said, okay, you know, I need to get on that plane, can you please sit? Then, Mrityoha Murni Padam Dattva, placing his foot on the head of death, Aruroha Adbhutam Griham, he boarded that astounding abode, that placing his feet on the head of death personified, like that. Is this figurative or is it real? Let's see what the acharya writes. So Srila Prabhupada writes, passing away of a devotee and a non-devotee is not the same. Death gives fear to a non-devotee, but a devotee takes advantage of death's presence and puts his foot on death's head. Okay. For example, Prabhupada gives the example of cat carrying a kitten in its mouth and cat carrying a rat in its mouth. Death had come to offer obeisances to Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada says. Death personified had come to offer his obeisances to Dhruva Maharaj because he was a great devotee. Therefore, and he placed his foot on death's head because that word would please him. He had come to take the dust from the lotus feet of Dhruva Maharaj. like that. Let's continue. Complexion. Apparently not. Just it's just mentioned that his complexion changed. That's all. He became a few shades fairer. Which means his body, it means that he did not give up that body and then accept a spiritual body, but that same body got spiritualized. That's what it means. That's what it's in. In some cases, as in the case of Narada Muni, it is mentioned that he gave up his old body and he achieved his new body simultaneously. In his case, the same body got spiritualized. No big difference. Yeah. No big difference in one sense. In one sense, his consciousness would have also not changed. He was anyway in that body only, he had full spiritual consciousness only. Spiritual world within material world, because that's the abode of Karana Dakshai, Kshira Dakshai Vishnu. Okay. What? Yeah, whenever devastation happens, but at the time of ultimate devastation, it is mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Vaikuntha. Okay. He's still there, but at the end of this Brahma's lifetime, he'll go back home, back to Vaikuntha. Dhruva Loka doesn't get destroyed. Just like it is said, Jagannath Puri also does not get destroyed during the time of Mahapralaya, Mayapur also, and all Vrindavan, like that. In which milk ocean did Samudra Manthan Leela happen? Was it here? Probably. I have to verify it. See, could go there, could see, the thing is, now it is not that people cannot go there. Nonsense. When Shastras talk about others, unqualified people cannot go there, it means they cannot go there and experience the highest bliss. That's what it means. It is not necessarily necessary that they cannot, like for example, then how could Duryodhan get darshan of Krishna? Why is it that he did not get darshan of Krishna? How could the soldiers, how could so many people take darshan of Krishna? Were they qualified? Darshan does not matter. The thing is, what experience did that darshan give them? For him, it doesn't matter. Swarga pravarga narakesha api tulyartha darshinam. That is there. Lord's desire. Lord's desire, he was executing that Lord's desire. That's all. So, for them, it doesn't matter. And for others also, if an unqualified person goes to Vaikuntha also, how did the Duryasa Muni feel in Vaikuntha? He was full of Kunta, isn't it? Standing in front of Vishnu, he was like, please do something, you know, And then he said, run to Ambarish Maharaj. He ran away from Vaikuntha. He didn't even want to stay there. Yet Gatva Nani Vartante, in a moment he left that place. Which Krishna says that going there, no one comes back. Durvasmani didn't even stay there for a moment. He just ran away from there. So it's not that when scripture says, how could Durvasmani go to Vaikuntha? Why not? When the scriptures say that they cannot go there, it means that they cannot go there and experience what is supposed to be experienced. That's what it means. Otherwise they can go there. The Lord desires that he can bring anyone there.
The Yoga Maya.
Huh?
Is that Yoga Maya?
No, he was not under the Yoga Maya. Yeah.
Kumaras
visiting there. It is mentioned that how could the Kumaras enter Vaikuntha? It is mentioned that just like the king sometimes when he wants to see a circus, you know, he gets some animals and some they come and perform in the palace, and after that show is over, back up and they leave the palace. So like that, you know, if Krishna wants, desires to meet someone, he can arrange. So Durvasamuni came, he met the Lord, he understood the glories of devotees and then went back like that. Okay, let's continue. Tada dundubayone dur mridanga tanavadayah gandharva mukhya pragaduhu petu kusuma vrishtayah. Drums sounded, the best of Gandharvas sang, and showers of flowers fell. Sacha swarloka maarokshyan sunitim jananim dhruvah anvasmarad akam hitva dhimam yasye trivishtatam. As he was ascending to the Lord's planet, he remembered his mother Suniti. So he was thinking, giving up this place that no one can attain, that is the abode of Vishnu, I will go to my unfortunate mother. Out of great gratitude, he was thinking like this. How can I stay in this place, leaving my mother to suffer in this material world? So let me go to my unfortunate mother, like that Dho Maharaj was feeling. So Prabhupada writes, Maharaj had a feeling of obligation to Suniti as she was his Pata Pradarshak Guru or Shiksha Guru. There is no difference between Shiksha and Diksha Gurus, Prabhupada writes. The Shiksha Guru only later becomes the Diksha Guru. It is natural. Why would one feel inspired to take Diksha from someone if he is not inspired by his Shiksha? So the Shiksha Guru, the natural thing is that the Shiksha Guru only naturally becomes the Diksha Guru later. It's not necessary that all Shiksha Gurus would become one's Diksha Guru, but the prominent Shiksha Guru, one feels inspired to take Diksha from him also. But since Suniti was a woman, she did not become his Diksha Guru. The Lord is Satya Sankalpa, which means whatever he desires immediately happens. Similarly, a devotee who is completely dependent on the Lord is also a Satya Sankalpa. But there is a difference. But the Lord is an independent Satya Sankalpa, but a devotee depends on the grace of the Lord. The Lord is independently Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he desires automatically happens. But a devotee also is Satya Sankalpa, because whatever the devotee desires, the Lord feels obligated to fulfill it. By the grace of the Lord, he becomes a Satya Sankalpa. Like that. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to take his mother back, but he also knew that he was not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna's grace was needed. He could not
See, he got the airplane. But he understood that I cannot just like that, I am not the supreme. I cannot tell my mother also to hop into that same airplane. And he thought that, you know, I cannot do it. So let me go back, he was thinking. When he was thinking like this, the Lord understood. Krishna understood, and the associates showed Dhruva Maharaj Suniti, who was also ascending. So they said, wait, wait, don't act upon your desire. And then they showed. In another airplane, Suniti was also ascending. She was going ahead of Dhruva Maharaj. Thus, a devotee is also a Satyasankalpa. He only thought about it, and immediately they understood and they showed. The moment he thought, Suniti was already ascending. Okay, like that. That indication? Oh, acha. Yeah. Oh, three verses, section is over. We'll complete those three verses. Yeah.
This statement here says that Suniti, however, being a woman and specifically his mother, could not become Dhruva Maharaj and Daksha. In fact, go on to say that women cannot become
Daksha. I don't know. They could become, they could not become, I don't know. And Prabhupada also says that there is no difference between Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru also. Iti vyavasitam tasya vyavasaya surottamau darshayamasa turdevim puro yanena gacchatim. Understanding the desire of Dhruva, the two associates of the Lord showed him that his mother was also going by an airplane in front of him. Okay. Puroyanena, in an airplane which already had left before Dhruva Maharaj. Very interesting purport, Prabhupada writes. This incident proves that the Siksha or Diksha Guru who has a disciple as strong as Dhruva Maharaj can be carried by the disciple even though the guru may not be advanced. Suniti, being a woman, could not perform austerities in the forest, but Dhruva Maharaj could take her with him. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered Hiranyakashipu. And Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back to Godhead, my mission is successful. And then Prabhupada writes, sometimes I also think, even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha. Prabhupada says, sometimes I also think, it cannot be a lie, Prabhupada genuinely would be thinking like that probably. Not probably, definitely. I. Sometimes we also think like that, he writes. Tatra tatra prashamsaddi tati vaivani kai suraihi avakiryamano dadrishe kusumai kramasho grahan. While being showered with flowers here and there, the devatas who are praising him in other planes on the path. So they were standing higher than Dhruva Maharaj and Suniti, but they were, their vimanas were standing stationary there, but Dhruva Maharaj was, you know, both these other vimanas, they were passing those airplanes. Dadrishe Kramasho Grahan. Dhruva Maharaj saw the many planets one after the other. So Prabhupada writes an interesting purport here. The Vedas say, Yasmin Vigyate Sarvamevam Vigyatam Bhavati. When one knows the Supreme Lord, he can know everything else. This can be extended by telling that by going to Vaikuntha, one can know all the other planets on the way. Prabhupada says, you can extend this statement. Dhruva Maharaj acquired a spiritual body to pass through all these planets. Otherwise, it is not possible with material bodies. Similarly, it should be understood that Suniti also would have gotten a spiritual body. It must be understood. Prabhupada gives, therefore, a very important lesson to the mothers. Like Suniti, every mother should train her son from the age of 5 to be detached from worldly affairs and be attached to Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also train him to be a brahmachari. I was there in one initiated devotee's house. It was the son's birthday, and father is initiated, mother is initiated, son is also initiated. All are initiated, and it was son's birthday. Son was cutting the cake, and we sang happy birthday, and singing we chanted. All of us chanted, then we said, may you never take birth again. Madhavi started crying. She could not speak that sentence because she could not, you know, it was so heavy. You know, may you never take birth again. Of course, it's a very glorious thing, but then that attachment is like, it's natural, very strong, that, you know, may you never take birth again means no longer we are related as, you know, mother and son. It's like very heavy thing for a mother to accept, you know. But it's, but here Prabhupada writes, like Suniti, every mother should train her son from the age of 5 to be detached from worldly affairs and be attached to the Supreme Lord, and also train him to be a brahmachari. If the son becomes as strong a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj, not only will he go back home back to Godhead, but he will also take her back, though she may not be able to go to forest and perform austerities like that. So this section ends with 35. Golden hue, yeah. Changed means his hue changed. It means spiritualized, his body became spiritualized. Acharya Krishna Gayada Guru mentions. It is also mentioned that he went in the self-same body. Self-same body means his same body became spiritualized, like that. Change the body. Okay, you agree. Okay. Yeah. Trilokim devayanena soti vrajyamuninapi parastadyadruvagatir Vishnu padam atabhyagat. Flying beyond the three worlds, he whose planet is Dhruvaloka arrived at the Lord's planet beyond the seven sages. Just below the Dhruvaloka is the Saptarishi Mandal. Geographically, vertical point of view, just next to the Dhruvaloka is the Saptarishi Mandal, and like that. Prabhupada writes, only transcendental pilots like Nanda and Sunanda can take the plane beyond the three worlds. Okay. So we'll stop there and continue the rest of the chapter tomorrow, and then move on to the 13th chapter, description of the birth of Vena. Another interesting personality. will continue this section tomorrow. So tomorrow we will meet at 5 o'clock in the evening or any time after 1 or 2 o'clock, because till 1 o'clock I will be doing Rajbhog. So after that time, any time is okay. Huh? No.
Yeah, 1 o'clock I will take this. 1:30 to 4:30 is okay, but 5 to 8 is still okay. Huh?